Hello, all my listeners. Hello, my friends, fans, and family. And to all of you who are listening to archived editions a decade down the road so that you can try to catch me having said something that will derail my presidential campaign. This is yet another episode of that possibly most beloved and almost certainly most frequent of Peanuts-focused podcasts, the Og Blog Podcast, with its special interest in books. In fact, this isn't just any episode, this is episode 55. Which doesn't mean it's actually the 55th episode of the show. There was, after all, an episode zero, which was just a preview of this. And there was an April Fool's Day installment, where I offered you the bits that had been cut out of a recent episode, which turned out to be mostly pauses, sneezes, mispronunciations, and other things that one would not actually want to hear. But there are 55 of the standard weekly full episodes, I think. It's quite possible that I accidentally skipped a number somewhere in there. I do things like that. I'm sloppy. But irrespective of all that stuff, this is episode 55. That's a number that I'm putting on it in certain specific podcast tracking fields. It's a number that I'm using to name this. And it's just a name. I know a woman named Cat. She's not actually a cat, but it's still actually her name. But numbering is powerful. Numbering has an effect. In fact, it has more than just an effect. It has a number of effects. One could number the various effects it has. I shan't, but one could. Or someone could. I don't feel the need to give that someone the number one. There have been several numbered sets of Peanuts books over the years. For example, the Peanuts Parade series. That was a series published by Holt, Reinhardt, and Winston that was the main line of Peanuts strip reprints in the mid-1970s until the mid-1980s. And the numbering, well, the numbering doesn't do what you would think it would do. The Peanuts Parade series started in 1975 with a book called Speak Softly and Carry a Beagle. And I haven't found a way to pronounce an asterisk, but if I had one, you would have heard a big fat asterisk at the end of that sentence. You see, that book, when it was released in 1975, didn't say Peanuts Parade on it, and it didn't have a number on it. It was just a big, these books were about 11 by 7.5, bigger than your typical paperback, a big Peanuts strip collection covering recent strips that hadn't been previously collected. And that makes sense, that you don't number the first one in a series. It's announcing your presumption that it is a series, and you look kind of stupid if the only one that comes out is number one. I mean, the first Rocky film wasn't called Rocky One, it was just called Rocky. After that came Rocky Two, Rocky Three, and so forth. In fact, that would have been a great title for the next film in the Rocky series, because it was so forth. And the first film in the Rambo series isn't called Rambo 1, or it isn't even called Rambo at all. It's called First Blood. The second film, well, Second Blood would have made sense, but they called it Rambo First Blood Part 2. And after that, Rambo was the title. Rambo 3. And then the fourth film was called Rambo. Just Rambo. Because the title hadn't already been used. Rocky is the first film in the Rocky series, and Rambo is the fourth film in the Rambo series. If you always thought, when I want consistency, I look towards Sylvester Stallone, you should think about rethinking that philosophy. But at least Rocky and Rambo are in those films. The lighthearted drunk detective film The Thin Man had sequels called After the Thin Man, Another Thin Man, Shadow of the Thin Man, The Thin Man Goes Home, and Song of the Thin Man, despite the fact that the Thin Man character from the first film was the person the detective was looking for and doesn't actually appear in any of the other films. But then the Pink Panther Diamond did not appear in all the Pink Panther films, and wow, I've gotten way off track here. Anyway, I guess that Speak Softly and Carry a Beagle was a bit of a test flight, and it must have done well, because in 1976, Holt, Reinhardt, and Winston went full bore into the Peanuts Parade line. By the end of that year, there were a dozen numbered books in the series, most of them collecting a book and a half apiece of the smaller Peanuts reprint books that Holt and company had previously issued. I'm sure you're thinking that Speak Softly and Carry a Beagle was volume 1 in the series, and then they continued with volumes 2, 3, 4, and 5, and so on. And you'd be wrong. When they did put a number on Speak Softly, it was number 11 in the Peanuts Parade series. Ah, I hear you cry. By the time they got around to doing a new printing of Speak Softly, and with the Peanuts Parade header on top, they must have already put out 10 other Peanuts Parade books. So naturally, this becomes 11. That's a fair assumption, but, well, wrong. I have a copy of the third printing of this book, and it's got the Peanuts Parade markings and the number 11 on the spine, and it also has a page listing all the other Peanuts Parade books available, and it only has volumes 1 through 4. That's right, you go to the store and buy volumes 1, 2, 3, 4, and 11. And for those who have severe math brain, for those who are anywhere on the autistic spectrum, this has got to have been a real annoyance. Really, that is one of the reasons that things get numbered, is to encourage you to be complete and to fill in the holes in the set. We see that in comic book collecting and trading card collecting. The existence of the hole drives people to collect the set, or to avoid it altogether. Which reminds me of the story, possibly apocryphal, of the school where they came in one day and found that a rival school had vandalized their campus in various ways. Spray painting the rival school's name and saying that they rule. Spray painting the victim school's name and saying they suck. And unleashing goats on the campus. They even spray painted the goats with numbers. Number 1, 3, and 4. There were only 3 goats. The vandals just wanted the victims to go mad trying to hunt down the missing, non-existent goat number 2. Or, to dip back to the big screen, well, if you know the history of America, you know King George III. And if by knowing the history of America, you mean that you've seen Hamilton, King George III is the white guy. He's the one who's the most fun to play. The British put out a movie about that troubled ruler. It was called The Madness of King George III. Only it wasn't called that when it was released in America, because the film distributor thought that Americans would not be willing to see The Madness of King George III if we hadn't seen The Madnesses of King George I and II first. We would see that Roman numeral on the film, and we won't want to see our things in order or not see them at all. Back yet again, I'm bad with diversions. Back to the Peanuts Parade series. So Speak Softly and Carry a Beagle was numbered 11, not because it was the 11th released, nor because it was the 11th numbered. Obviously, it's a reading order, only it's not. The books were not released in the order of the strips that they reprint. Volumes 1 and 2 are made up of strips from 1965 and 1966, but the next 2 volumes are made up of strips from earlier in the 1960s. Books with strips from the mid-1970s can be followed by books with strips from the 1950s. There is no apparent rhyme or reason there. Speak Softly and Carry a Beagle was volume 11 because shut up, that's why. And to make things just a little more complicated for the collector, there's the edition of Speak Softly that was put out by Weekly Reader, one of those clubs that lets students order books at school. They put out a hardcover, smaller in all dimensions, including many fewer pages and strips, but still labeled as Peanuts Parade number 11. If you get that one to fill the hole in your Peanuts Parade collection, you'll be sorely disappointed. For a long time, people seemed to have trouble finding the final volume in the Peanuts Parade series, volume 29, The Way of the Fuss Budget Is Not Easy. And part of that is because it probably sold worse than most of the others. After all, if sales hadn't been slipping, they probably wouldn't have canceled the line. And it had less time to stay in print before they stopped keeping the Peanuts Parade in print altogether. But another reason that it's hard to find is that it's actually hard to find. They had redesigned the cover concept, perhaps in a last-ditch effort to save the Peanuts Parade, so the book looks a lot different than the other books in the series. If you set your eyes to find Peanuts Parade books, you may well skip right over this one. But you can skip it, I suppose. It's the last one, so you just say that you are collecting volumes 1 through 28. As long as there's not a hole in the middle of the numbering, you're fine. There are a couple of numbered series of Peanuts books currently in print. There's the full-color strip reprint series that started as AMP Comics for Kids, AMP is Andrews McMeel Publishing, but is now Peanuts Kids. Number 11 in that series, Snoopy Boogie Down, just came out. These are reasonably good books for the younger, not yet hardcore Peanuts reader. The thing is, the number is a recent addition to the series. For the first 8 or 9, I think it's 9, they didn't have any numbers at all. I presume that any new printings of the earlier volumes will have numbers, but for now, the collectors just get a whole mess of books, then 10 and 11. The other recent series that was numbered were the books reprinting the Kaboom series of Peanuts comic books. These were numbered from the beginning and in order, and adhered fairly closely to the order that the material they were reprinting came out. So that's sane. But the comic books they were reprinting... well, less sane. In the comic book field, there are conflicting forces when it comes to numbering your books. On one hand, you want to have a good sequential numbering so that people feel the need to keep up with the books, keep their set going. But on the other hand, comic books listed as issue 1 tend to sell a lot more than comic books with other numbers. People see them as both the right issue to try if you want to try a series, get in at the beginning, but also it's seen as a better investment. That issue one is the issue that collectors in the future will pay big money for. Believe me, there are people with basements filled with issue ones of series that they saw as an investment in the 1990s, with the vast majority of them being so overordered that there will never be a shortage of them. They will never become valuable. There is much less investing in issue ones than there was a quarter century ago, but it still has some impact. So when Kaboom first started publishing Peanuts comic books, they wanted to make a cheap issue for people to try. If I recall, that first issue cost only a quarter at a time when comic books were about $3 a piece. That's a good way to get people to try the series. But presumably they didn't want to lose the profits that come from having a good-selling full-price issue one, so they labeled the 25-cent issue as issue zero. Then made the next issue be issue one. Then came issues 2, 3, 4, and then there was a gap in publishing. And Kaboom took advantage of that gap to say that the new issues were part of volume 2. So the next issue was another issue 1. That's issue 1 of volume 2, and the series continued on from there. So if you get the entire Kaboom run, you'll get two issues 1 through 4. And just to make matters more confusing, each of these issues had multiple different cover designs, you know, some rare chase covers to interest collectors and investors. So just because the cover to an issue 2 that you see doesn't match the cover to the issue 2 you already have, it doesn't mean that you've necessarily found the other issue 2. It may be just the same issue you already have with a different cover. But there is one imprint series that isn't actually numbered, at least in the traditional way. But people act like it is. It's the Complete Peanuts. People talk about them as if they're numbered. I do it myself. In the previous installment of this podcast, I talk about the work I did on Complete Peanuts Volume 26. But while there is an order to the books, of course, and numbers on the books, those numbers are dates. What we think of as the Complete Peanuts Volume 1 is actually the Complete Peanuts 1950 to 1952. Volume 1 appears nowhere on it. Numbering is so handy that we invent it where it doesn't exist. Now, there's one set where I've found that there's more collector interest in it as a numbered set. And it's not from the US. It's a British series published by Coronet. They reprinted the mass market paperbacks that Fawcett Crest had been publishing. And they didn't even reprint them all, just 89 out of the 100 titles in the US series. But unlike the US series, they were numbered. Okay, the US series was kind of numbered, because the Fawcett Crest books were each just partial reprints of Holt books. They let you know on the cover that, say, What Next, Charlie Brown, was Selections from You're Out of Your Mind, Charlie Brown, Volume 2. But the Coronet books had a spine numbering that went through the whole series, which made it all the more urgent for collectors who have every one except numbers 72 and 87. You cannot leave holes like that. And it turns out to be a kind of a hard set to collect, because the last few books are scarce. But even when you think you know what you're doing with this series, you don't. The set has two different number 27s. The first printing of volume 28, It's For You, Snoopy, said 27 on the spine, giving it the same numbering as You're the Greatest, Charlie Brown. Because numbers, my friend, lie. They lie all the time. And hey, if you think that I'm going to wrap up this podcast with suggestions that you check out the blog, that you review the podcast on Apple Podcasts, and that you drop me a line with suggestions for future topics, then you really have my number. Direct those suggestions or comments or questions to questions@augh.com. That's AAUGH.com. And until next time, may your sets be whole rather than have holes. May all your numbers be prime ones. And may all your griefs be good ones.